Good morning. Very pleased to be here. The topic of my presentation is food environment, eating out, and body weight, a review of the evidence. And this work was done through a partnership of the United States Department of Agriculture and Health and Human Services based on a review of the science that was conducted by the 2010 Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee. The committee member that led the reviews that you're going to hear about today was Miriam Nelson from Tufts University, and I have surrounded myself with excellence within my own department, and I'd like to acknowledge the work of the other co-authors from the Nutrition Evidence Library, Eve Esri, Julio Baggi, and Jean Altman. And I have no financial relationships to disclose, and so we'll start. And you're all aware of the obesity and overweight epidemic, and I know you know that nutrition and physical activity choices are usually occur at the individual level, but I've heard a lot at this conference about the influence of environment on individuals' choices, and certainly there have been many changes in the food environment over the last 40 years, including a doubling in the number of fast food restaurants, dramatic increases in portion sizes, and the number of calories that are consumed by individuals outside the home. So the 2010 Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee felt there was an urgent need to address overweight and obesity, and they asked a number of questions related to environment, eating behaviors, and body weight. So the goal of my presentation this morning is to provide you an outline of the systematic reviews that were accomplished by the Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee with the assistance of the USDA Nutrition Evidence Library, and then highlight for you how the results of the systematic review were then incorporated into the policy document known as the Dietary Guidelines for Americans 2010. The Nutrition Evidence Library was established to conduct systematic reviews to inform federal nutrition policy and programs, and the government uses this library system because of its rigor and the transparency of the review. And this is just an overview of the process that the Systematic Review Library uses. And in this case, the reviews were guided by the Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee. So they identified the systematic review questions and they developed the criteria to support the identification of the literature and the selection of the literature for the review as part of this literature search and sort plan. Once the included articles were identified, the NEL library staff created evidence portfolios, and this entailed extracting key information from each of the included articles that was useful to answer the question, and National Service volunteers assisted us with that task, and they also helped us to identify the methodological rigor of each one of these studies. The data was synthesized and evaluated by the committee, who identified the trends, any kind of methodological issues that were relevant, and they developed a conclusion statement and then graded the strength of the evidence supporting that conclusion, and finally identified research recommendations. And a full description of this process is described in the Journal of American Dietetic Association in the April 2011 volume. So I just wanted to highlight two key components of the process. The first is the rating of the methodological rigor of the individual studies that are included in the systematic reviews, and this is done based on scientific validity questions, and each article has a rating of positive, negative, or neutral, indicating the rigor of that study. And then a second key component is the grading of the strength of the evidence that supports that conclusion. And so this is an evaluation of the strength of all of the studies that were used to create the conclusion statement. And this is done based on the quality of the studies, and that includes the methodological rigor rating and also the study design, the quantity of studies and the quantity of subjects within those studies, the consistency of findings across the reports, the magnitude of effect, and the generalizability to the population of interest. And so the grades strong, moderate, limited were used primarily. So these are the three research questions that I'm going to review today. What is the relationship between eating out and body weight in children and in adults? And then what is the relationship between environment, body weight, and fruit and vegetable consumption? So as you recall, the articles or the literature was selected based on criteria, and the Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee looked for literature within the last 10 years. They only looked at peer-reviewed literature published in the English language with human subjects, and each study arm had to have at least 10 subjects, and the dropout rate needed to be less than 20. The study design selected was important for the eating out and body weight questions. The committee used all study designs except narrative reviews and cross-sectional studies, and for the environmental and body weight question, they only used systematic reviews and meta-analysis to answer the question. So let's first look at the questions related to eating out and body weight. The NEL team identified 477 articles that were potentially relevant, and then through screening, we were left with 10 articles that addressed eating out and overweight. And so in terms of children, we found one systematic review and five cohort studies. And recall that each of these studies is graded in terms of the methodological rigor. So each of these studies were positive quality. All the studies were conducted in the United States and in Canada. The sample sizes ranged from 101 to 14,355 subjects. The systematic review included 16 studies, 8 of which addressed children, and they were in a variety of designs. They had cross-sectional cohorts and randomized control trials, and all the studies only considered fast food intake, even though our search criteria was much broader. This is where the research exists at present, and I just have the abbreviated citations on the right-hand side. So what were the results? Five studies found that fast food intake was associated with higher weight, and two of the studies showed that weight increased when fast food was consumed more than once a week. And one study found that no relationship existed between fast food intake and weight in boys, and a negative association was found in girls. And that was the Haynes 07 study. So let's take a look at the results in adults. For the adults, we had one systematic review, the same review that was used for children. All, again, received a positive rating, and all were conducted in the United States. The sample sizes ranged from 891 to 9,919. The same systematic review was addressed, and in this case, all of the studies considered fast food intake. One study also looked at other fast food restaurants. And again, I have an abbreviated citation, so you know the studies that I'm using. One of the things we also do is if there's a study included in a systematic review, then we exclude it so we don't count it double. So what were the results? All six studies found a significant association between fast food intake and higher weight in adults, and more than one fast food meal consumed per week was associated with an increase in BMI. There was no relationship found between intake of restaurant food other than fast food and weight, but of course that was only one study. So based on these findings, what did the committee conclude? Well, first, there was strong and consistent evidence that indicates that children and adults who eat fast food are at increased risk of weight gain, overweight, and obesity. And the strongest documented relationship between fast food and obesity is when one or more fast food meals are consumed per week. So if you think about the average family and how frequently they do consume fast foods, that could encompass a large number of people in our population. There's not enough evidence at this time to similarly evaluate eating out at different other types of restaurants and the risk of weight gain, overweight, and obesity. Now, this is the flow chart for the literature search related to food environment and body weight. There were 320 articles identified that could potentially answer this question, and two were identified meeting all of the pre-specified criteria. In terms of food environment and weight, the Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee considered 10 systematic reviews examining the relationship between food environment and body weight and or fruit and vegetable intake, and all 10 found an association between the environment and body weight and dietary intake. And two reviews, both with a positive quality rating, found that those who lived in neighborhoods with a higher number of fast food restaurants had higher rates of obesity. And again, the citations are to the right. So what were the conclusions reached by the committee? An emerging body of evidence has documented the impact of the food environment and select behaviors on body weight in both children and adults. And moderate, strong evidence now indicates that the food environment is associated with dietary intake, especially less consumption of vegetables and fruits and higher body weight. The presence of supermarkets in neighborhoods and other sources of vegetables and fruits are associated with lower body mass index, especially for low-income Americans, while lack of supermarkets and long distances to supermarkets are associated with higher BMI. And finally, limited but consistent evidence suggests that increased geographic density of fast food restaurants and convenience stores is also related to an increase in BMI. So if you wanted to take a look at the summary of each of these reports, they're found in the Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee report, and the full systematic reviews can be found on the Nutrition Evidence Library website at www.nel.gov, which is on the right lower corner of the slides. So how did the results of the systematic reviews then become integrated into the policy document known as the Dietary Guidelines for Americans 2010? In Chapter 2 of the Dietary Guidelines, they address calorie balance and weight maintenance, and one of the principles that is suggested is promote calorie balance, is when eating out, make better choices, choose smaller portions or lower calorie options, or instead of eating out, cook and eat more meals at home. So that's how part of it was incorporated. And then in Chapter 6, there's a call to action for multiple segments of influence. And there's a call to action to facilitate individual behavior change through environmental strategies. And the report says, initiate partnerships with food retailers to promote the development and affordability of appropriate portions of affordable, nutritious food products. The goal being making the nutritious, healthy item the easiest accessible product. Again, these are the acknowledgments the systematic reviews were guided by the Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee. The names in bold were those who worked specifically on these systematic review questions, and then the federal staff who assisted with these reviews are also listed. And I encourage you to go to the NEL website.